Good evening, everyone. At 6 o'clock, so we'll open the November Council meeting for the Town of Bassendean. Welcome everybody who is here this evening. For those that don't know me, my name is Renee McLennan. I'm the Mayor, and before you are the councillors for the Town of Bassendean. So Kaya, Wanyu, Nyalak, Karijinijubujabal, Wajatmungambuja, Nyalak, Nini. So we know the Town of Bassendean was founded on the lands of the Whadjuk Noongar people, and as always we pay our respects to the Whadjuk people. We know our town has a long history, many thousands of years of Whadjuk Noongar people on this land, and then more recently the colonial history, which I'm sure many of you are here tonight with some interest in that part of our town's history, particularly in relation to the property at 1 Surrey Street. So thank you for being here tonight. Just want to remind everybody that our council meetings are not only recorded, but we live stream them so that members of our community who aren't able to be here this evening can access the decisions that council makes that affect them. And the recording will also be uploaded to the town's website in the next few days. Item 2 on the agenda this evening is announcements. I don't have any new announcements other than just on the agenda item that I'm sure many of you are interested in, which is the 1 Surrey Street item, to acknowledge that there has been a lot of interest in this. I think there's been some information circulating that may not be entirely accurate, so hopefully tonight, through the questions that you may ask or the information that the staff can provide, there will be some clarification of what the current situation is and what the options are for council going forward from here. Item 3 is attendances, apologies and applications for leave. So we have had an apology from Councillor Chris Barty, who is on a leave of absence. Are there any other requests for leave from councillors? Great. Okay, we'll move on. Item 4 is declarations of interest. So our CEO has declared impartiality of interest on 16.4, which is the service review. And I have declared an impartiality of interest from last week for 12.2, which is the Surrey Street item. As many of you know, there was a deputation last week from an organisation expressing interest in council pursuing the officer recommendation, and I have an extended family member who is on the board of that organisation. Item 5 is presentations or deputations. So we have one deputation request this evening. Welcome, ladies. So this is in relation to 12.2, which is the Surrey Street item. So can I maybe invite Mr. Mark Johnson, who's the president, and also Ross McDonald and Joyce Tasma, who would like to present this evening. Mr. Johnson, I understand that your preference is to use the microphone. Yeah, is that correct? Yes. Yeah. And are the three of you all saying something?
No,
each?
It's mainly medical.
Okay. So I'll put the timer on because you get 10 minutes for the deputation, and then once you've finished speaking, councillors may wish to ask you questions.
If no worries.
Thank you.
Alrighty. Well, I'd like to start by just thanking you, the councillors and the staff, for your time, for allowing us to speak tonight on this the officer's recommendation as item 12.2 on tonight's agenda for the disposal of 1 Surrey Street. During my deputation, just for convenience and ease, I've referred to both the land and the buildings as the cottage. to start with, my name's Mark Johnson. I'm the president of the Bassendean Historical Society, and I'm also a member of the local studies group. On the deputation is also Miss Joyce Tasma, who's the past president of the Arts Council and convener of the Vibrant Arts Group. Joyce was also on the working party of the 1 Surrey Street development with the Town of Bassendean staff and is a member also of the local studies. And the third member is Mr. Ross McDonald, who's just a long-time resident of Bassendean. We are here tonight to ask the council to consider what we believe to be a better way to ensure the preservation, display and use of the cottage, put in place a trial that may result in a later decision by the Town of Bassendean as owners based on the experience gained by leasing to an interested organisation. But if you do pass the motion tonight, the cottage may be given away for free without further reference to the councils, thereby giving away control of the oldest building in Bassendean, one of the oldest buildings in Western Australia, along with the 1893 residence. We feel that leasing the cottage is a better option and should be on terms that require the creation of the benefits that are set out in your motion, such as community benefit, restoration, financial, together with regular reporting of the achievement of those benefits, from the lessee. This way, the Town of Bessendine could monitor performance and, if necessary, terminate the lease and regain possession in the event of a default. Maintenance of all buildings is a term of all leases, and a premises fit-out condition included to have the proposed lessee do the repairs required to make the residence safe for occupation if the lessee wanted to use the residence for commercial purposes. A lease of the land held by the Town of Bessendine as a reserve cannot be claimed by any creditors of the lessee. The members of the BHF have real concerns that the council may decide to give away the cottage without at least considering the following suggestion of the BHS, which is to revest the cottage to create a reserve for the purposes of conservation of historic buildings. The reserve could then be placed under the care of the Town of Bessendine for the control and management, with the power to lease for a period or for periods up to 21 years. Revive the site interpretation plan as adopted by Council in 2012, and then to join with the BHS to make fresh applications to Lottery West for funding to remedy the faults that are identified in the report that are held by the Town of Bessendine and the implementation of the site interpretation. There really seems to be no question that in the end, the intention of the Town of Bessendine is that the BHS will undertake the opening and presentation of the cottage, and that should also include the residents. If the funding is received to renovate the cottage and residents, it should be leased to the BHS. If no funding is received, the cottage be leased under the tender process with a licence to BHS to have care and control of the cottage, one of the terms of the tender documentation. We ask the Town of Bessendine to continue BHS representation in the creation of the leasing and disposal documentation involving the cottage. With regards to the funding, the remaining grant monies we feel should be retained by the Town of Bessendine for as long as possible in this current financial year. Should the councillors not support the alternative process, we feel that the town should discuss with the BHS the use of the remaining grant monies and any other trust funds held by the Town of Bessendine for building conservation purposes to make urgent and routine maintenance on the cottage. The BHS does not support relinquishing of this remaining proportion of the grant and regrets the decision to relinquish the initial grant. With regards to the presentation of the cottage, the BHS seeks to negotiate an interim agreement with the Town of Bessendine to enable the cottage to be open to the public again, in line with the BHS's core objects, and to have input into the implementation of the alternative proposal should the councillors agree. In summary, there's two final statements that I'd just like to make, is that the first being that whatever the decision the councillors make tonight, you will now be forever linked to the history of 1 Surrey Street. And finally, with the second statement, is it seems a bit of a cliche, but you never know what you have until it's gone. So what we would really ask as a plea is that please defer your decision on the cottage tonight and permit representation of the BHS to meet with staff to consider more details of the officer's recommendation and the alternative proposals to identify the respective merits of each, or a combination of both, and a sooner than later report back to council. Thank you again for your time.
Thank you. Would either of you like to speak as well?
Well, I'm prepared for questions. If there are.
I'd like to speak for a few minutes.
Yes, please join us.
Thank you for listening. I've got my notes in my bag, but I'm going to talk to you personally. And I'm going to say to you that I am the only person who has actually occupied the building for 10 years, and that is the house adjacent to the cottage. And what I tried to do in those 10 years, with very limited resources, mind you, there was no phone or anything that was provided in those ways, was to create a community resource. And this community resource, we worked together with the BHS, by the way, we were able to run over 10 years. I was in that building almost daily, because at the height of our use of the building, we had 4 groups, separate groups, running on Monday nights, Tuesdays, Wednesdays and Thursdays. And later on, we incorporated a group for Sundays for people who couldn't come nighttime or weekdays. Most of the people that came were older women. There were some young women, but it was mainly older women So it fulfilled a role of retiring art teachers, educators and practitioners. And we created workshops for community art. And we ran at least 100 came out of that building in that period of time. We did it for the Art Gallery of WA, the Museum of WA, for Chogham. We did it for councils, Town of Bassendean, Coburn City, Mundaring Arts Centre, the Darlington Arts Festival, Mandurah Festivals, and, I hope you get the idea that we didn't just stick to Bassendean, but we covered the whole metro area. And we were an incredible resource. It was one phone call to this group that we were able to create workshops that fitted children, elderly, teenagers, women with children. We've done workshops with mothers and daughters. We've covered so many different areas. And our basic ethos was to repurpose, recycle, reuse, and go back to some of the traditional arts and crafts that women in particular were well known for. It's no apology that it was mainly women that were doing this, and I feel it was the equivalent of what the men's shed supplies for men in our community. It was really the equivalent. And we do everything from multimedia to woodworking, crocheting, knitting, fabric, dyeing, eco-dyeing, paperwork. I just can't think off the top of my head, but we covered just about anything. So what I'm trying to get through to you now is that whatever you decide to do with this site, and I've spent 10 years at this site, and I've loved it, and it was a lovely old girl that, you know, I'm going gender specific, yeah, I know. But it was a lovely old building that we felt we cherished it, and we made it work for us. We were able to store resources there. We were also able to run functions there, like sundowners, where we had poetry and musicians coming. People were able to mingle and get to know each other. We took part in most of the Town of Bassendean's activities as well. And I guess what I want you to consider when you're considering this motion that's before you tonight, I want you to consider the actual community use of this building, because it is written into that tender process that you have, that you are going to decide upon, is that there is an element of community use. And should you go for tenders or someone that is going to run it as a business as opposed to a community resource, I'd like to say very strongly that I think myself and my group, which is Vibrant, have proved beyond any doubt over 10 years that with a base membership of about 30, that we have proved that there is a real need and demonstrated option to have a community use for that particular building that runs concurrently with the Interpretation Centre for the cottage. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillors, would you like to ask any of these three individuals questions based upon what they presented? Councillor Hamilton?
I just wanted to ask you the clause that is section 3.582B under the Legislative Act, which is quoted in this officer's recommendation. That's not a decision to offload it. It is a decision to invite people to provide what they might do, a brief, for lack of a better word. So you're aware of that or not?
I am, but I don't know how you can actually make that happen once you've given a building or a tender process a building to someone to operate. I don't know how you can enforce the use of that.
But this motion is not giving away anything at the moment. It's inviting
is disposing of a leaf?
I'll leave it to the staff to actually
explain. So maybe when it comes
it.
To this yes. item, we can ask the staff to speak and respond to some of the points that have been raised. Any other questions, councillors? Councillor Wilson?
Thank you, Your Worship. So if the officer recommendation is supported as it's currently worded, is the Bassendean Historical Society in a position at all to put in an expression of interest to take over management of this building?
We would certainly look at it, absolutely. You know, whether we could gather the resources to be able to do it, but we would certainly give it a red hot go, absolutely. Just so that it would remain within the town of Bassendean. And,
Anything further, councillors? Okay, thank you for your contribution. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, so moving on to item six. This is statements by members of the public. So this is the opportunity for anybody who would like to speak to any of the items on tonight's agenda to do so. So we've got 15 minutes set aside, and each individual would have up to 2 minutes to speak to the agenda item. So would you like to be first?
Thank you very much.
Can I invite you to come to the microphone, please?
Okay, here.
That's great.
Thank you.
Thank you
for inviting me. I'm a former Royal Marine, and I have a real feeling of empathy and closeness to the former Royal Marines who served as pensionary guards during the convict era. So I'll send a statement to the council.
Excuse me, sir. Sorry, I don't know your name.
I'm sorry, my name is Nicholas Bell.
Thank you.
I live at number 109. Whitfield Street in Bassendean.
Thank you very much.
This is my statement. Lot 1, 50 Surrey Street, was originally one of the 38 West Guildford town lots and was the nucleus of the new community. Pensioner guard John Lord Davis and his wife Amelia occupied the cottage in 1857, and together they had 8 children, and this family became part of the beating heart of the community that is now Bassendean. In 1988, the council bought the property to preserve the cottage and to use the residence as a resource centre and a museum. I implore the present council not to dispose of the site, but rather tender for credible organisations to partner them to achieve the stated objectives. Once gone, it's gone forever. Once gone, it's unique and precious asset will be lost to the community forever. Pardon my shaking, I've got Parkinson's disease, but I'm also very emotionally attached to the college of this idea. The property is only 1 kilometre from the town centre, from the town hall. It's just across the road from the pond in the Canning and Helena rivers. And if you look at the map behind you, it's the focus of attention. How anyone can sit at this table and vote to dispose of that site, absolutely is incredulous to me. In contrast to the present council's recommendation to dispose of the site, the state government has just last week opened the $400 million Perth Museum, which was first built in 1855 to house convicts. And it was guarded by pensionary guards who were the peers of John Law Davis. Please, councillors, don't dispose. I can't understand the difference in work, but dispose to me means to get rid of it. Please don't. Look at alternatives. Lease it. Retain ownership for the benefit of the Bassendean community forever. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay. Is anybody else who would like to speak? Yes.
My name is Jenny Collins, 24 James Street, Bassendean, and I'm shaking, not because I have Parkinson's, I'm shaking because I'm actually really upset over this, and I haven't been to council for a long time. So I suppose I want to start with council's track record with heritage. I think to say that it's woeful would be an understatement. So in 1900, we had the magnificent road board. The council at the time demolished it because it wasn't modern. And then had a beautiful Art Deco council building built. And of course, what did they do? They demolished that as well. And then we had this magnificent building, lol, and yet this one stays standing. And so I got involved with council, and I was a councillor, and my main aim was to look after heritage. And I got on council because council at the time wanted to demolish the magnificent Masonic, former Masonic lodge. They hadn't done any research. There was no value around it. They wanted to demolish it because in its place they thought it would be a great idea to have more retirement villages and extend James Street. So at the time I just asked for them, before they made a rash and impulsive and uninformed decision, just to do, just to get a conservation heritage consultant to see if it had any value. Well, not only did it have local value, but it actually had state significance. And it then became a very important part of our town. It was put on the state register. But before that, it wasn't seen as anything valuable. So council, and I can fairly much say that, has a fairly poor track record with caring, supporting, spending money on heritage, conserving heritage. I mean, I've been on three MI committees and for three MI reviews, and we still don't have a proper MI review. I've been asking for 20 years for design guidelines. So when a new property is built, then the people that come into the town say, well, obviously we have design guidelines here. Design guidelines must be important because a new property that's built, we want it to fit into the streetscape, we want it to be sympathetic. We still don't have that. So,
Scott, I'm going to have to ask you to wrap up.
Okay, so I suppose I will speak up again at question time, but something that I wanted councillors to ponder and be curious around is, if you really care about heritage and the conservation, the preservation of it, because everyone comes to town and understands how important it is, and you say all the time how important it is, I'd like there to be some evidence, some backing, to show that it is actually important. Because so far, I don't really see it, and I don't feel it, and I think we go to the community, and they might feel the same. So thank you for your time, and thank you for listening to me.
Thank you. Can I just ask people, at the two-minute mark, I'd really appreciate it if you wind up so that I don't have to move people along. That would be very helpful for me. Is there anybody else that would like to speak? No? Okay. So we'll move on then to public question time. So again, this is the opportunity for any of you to ask a question. It doesn't have to be on an agenda item. It can be on anything that is relevant to the town of Bassendean. Each person is able to ask up to two questions at a time before I'll give the opportunity to somebody else who may like to ask a question. Mr. Bridges.
Paul Bridges, 150 West Road, Bassendean. In the available options for Surrey Street, why was transferring the site to the Crown not listed as an option? Would Council consider deferring this item to allow this option to be explored? I ask, as in about 2012, Council wrote to the Bassendean Historical Society asking if they would be supportive of the site transferring to the Crown. The Bassendean Historical Society responded in agreement with that proposal. If the site was transferred as Crown land, the state could vest management with Mr. Harley's group, a joint submission between Mr. Harley's group and the Historical Society, or any other, you know, responsible body. The land would remain in public ownership, and this would honourably satisfy the disposal of the site. So my two questions, in the available options for Surrey Street, why was transferring the site to the Crown not listed as an option? And would Council consider deferring this item to allow this option to be explored?
So I might ask our CEO to respond to the first question, because the Office has prepared the report with the options for Council.
Certainly. Thank you, Mayor. Recommendation one talks about disposing 1 Surrey Street by public tender, which can actually also explore the opportunity of divesting to the Crown. So that can be incorporated as part of that proposal. However, when state government takes on a heritage property, there's usually a return on investment. And an example at the moment, which some may be familiar with, is the old Shenton Park Hospital. which has the Victoria House site on, and it's now become the new Montario Quarter, which Development WA are establishing. So it's on 8 hectares of land. They're redoing Victoria House as a commercial premises with high-rise townhouses, apartments around it. So there's actually a business case, a value proposition there for government to take on that land. I guess thinking about Surrey Street and what would be that value proposition for state government, it is certainly something that we can explore and will explore as part of recommendation one. We could contact the Department of Planning, Lands and Heritage, but usually state government doesn't intervene in these matters unless there is a value proposition, so they're looking for some sort of return on taking on an asset.
But that's not really answering the question. The question is, why wasn't it listed as an option? Now you're saying that, look, we're proposing to put it out for tender, and within that scope we could consider that as an option. That really defeats the purpose of the question.
Well, the idea of a tender process is to explore all possible options and then to look at what's in front of us.
So you're expecting that the Crown might tender to take over the site, are you?
Well, conversations can occur whilst the tender process goes on. The likelihood of the Crown being interested, we believe, is probably fairly limited.
Well, you know, given that there's a state election coming up in March, I'd say it's quite favourable.
Yeah.
I mean, and look, I understand that...
Is it another question, Mr. Bridges?
Well...
Just a second question. I don't think we can answer the is council willing to defer it till we get to that item, and if a council moves to defer it and it's supported by council, you know how
right.
it works.
Well,
councils have heard your preference.
Okay. I appreciate that what may happen tonight is that the may will be substituted with will in the motion. Now, if that happens, with the and or option there, what it means is that to satisfy the requirements of that motion, anyone can do this. That's a financial contribution to this town, and that satisfies the requirements of the motion if you change it from may to will. I'll leave the or in. Thank you.
Just in terms of any public tender process, the administration always undertake due diligence in response, and if they believe that the tender is not worthwhile in proceeding with, we'll provide a recommendation to council in accordance with that recommendation. So whilst the recommendation is there to dispose, if nothing can be identified in the marketplace, then a recommendation may come back to council not to proceed with the disposal.
Mrs. Carter.
Thank you. He's almost too high for me. Can you hear me?
It doesn't actually amplify your voice, it's for the recording, but we can hear you fine.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Thank you. Well, the listeners. My name is Jenny Carter, 8 Highland Street, Bassendean. I'm a bit confused. I thought disposing, get rid of. Clearly, there's another meaning, so I'd love to know what you councillors mean by dispose and what you see that term encompasses. But I'd like to preface my question with a quote from your 2018-2019 annual report, which is the one most recently available on the website. A tight-knit community with a village feel, giving a high priority to trees, the environment, history and the arts. We are building on the community spirit to plan for vibrancy and community connections. Excuse me, I think I'm going to put my reading glasses on. Now, where was I? Okay, one of the first settlements in Western Australia, we have a rich Aboriginal and pioneering history. I think that's, we all agree that. And so our community clearly cares about our unique town. So it's worrying to see how swiftly we have reached this point. But I'll ask my question. I have been involved in history and heritage research and writing for several decades. And we have all seen many, many times in the past that heritage buildings on private land, and let me stress, I'm talking about privately owned land, cannot be protected despite any contractual agreements, national trusts, municipal or state heritage registrations that they might hold. So given this, what makes you confident that if you transfer the town's most important heritage asset at 1 Surrey Street from public into private ownership, and let's be clear, a non-for-profit is still a private enterprise, could possibly keep it safe for the community in perpetuity? Now, I say this because I've also, people I know have had discussions with the person who may be interested in putting in a tender, and he's made it quite clear that his interest is in having the freehold land, not a lease arrangement. So if this is the case, where do we go from here? Thank you.
Thank you. Just before you leave, just want to note, obviously there was one person who has come and already expressed an interest in submitting a tender. We don't know what we're going to get. There could be multiple responses. You know, BHS has just indicated you might like to put in a response exploring with state government. So just to make sure everybody's aware that there's no, even if council supports the officer recommendation tonight, there's a process to go through, and we would be hoping to get some applications that would be suitable for council to consider. Now, I might ask Mr. Gibson, because he asked the question about what safeguards there would be, and you obviously have concerns that there isn't the ability to protect properties. And this is a concern that has been raised by councils, and we've asked similar questions of the staff previously. I might just ask Mr. Gibson if he's able to respond to your question.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I suppose, carrying on from your point, I just want to reiterate that the recommendation before council tonight is not to actually dispose of the site. It's to commence a process, an exploratory process of what might be possible. It does not prejudice or better any subsequent decision-making of council. If council was to resolve it as recommended, a process would occur and a subsequent report would be brought back to council for a subsequent decision. So the decision on offer tonight is not the actual disposal, it is about the commencement of a process.
Can I just say that I do actually understand that?
In terms of the comment about what the safeguards are, depending on the nature of the proposals that were brought to the town, and that could be from the gentleman from last week or from anyone else, obviously staff would assess the merits of those proposals and bring them to council for determination. If those proposals committed to doing certain things or committed to not doing certain things, I'd suggest we would look to formalise those commitments under a deed of agreement that would be a legally binding document agreed with both parties and secured by a caveat over the property. So there are legal instruments at our disposal to ensure any commitments are followed through.
So do I take from what you're saying that you have no intention of giving it away or selling it?
Just in response to your question, I don't think anybody can answer what the intention is until we know what the options are before us. So the staff provided a number of options in the report. Council has the ability to choose any of them or an alternative tonight to explore further. If the council chooses to support the officer recommendation, the options there are very broad. So we don't know what would come back, and it would depend on what responses we receive, what future decisions will be available to council.
That's correct.
So I reiterate that the possibility of handing it off, giving the freehold away, or selling it is still very much on the table to be considered.
Well, at this point, no decision has been made, so all options are to be considered.
That, but that's not being ruled out.
No, it's one of the options that's included in the officer report.
Thank you very much.
Hi, Gossip Connor from Kenny Street. I have a concern with trying to regain control of private freehold land that you've disposed of on the basis of an agreement protected by a caveat, assumedly against the successful person or body to which that land has been disposed. I don't know of any protection that you can get from Acadia and get the land back if there is default under an agreement signed by the owner of a freehold property. But I assume the council would have looked at that question, and I hope the council would look at that question. But my question is, will you look at that question and consider offering leasehold only by whatever form?
Thank you for your question. Yes.
Jenny Collins, 24 James Street. I have two questions for council to consider, please. How much money have you spent on SIA architects and other reports around 1 Surrey Street, the 1 Surrey Street buildings? My second question is, what real evidence does council have to show the Town of Bassendean community that you actually care, support and value the preservation and conservation of built heritage in our town? Thank you.
Thank you. So your first question about the funds that have been spent on SIA architects is a question that councillors have also asked, so the information is readily at hand this evening. Would you like to respond?
I'm sorry about that. And other reports.
Oh, sorry, and other reports.
And other reports.
Yes.
And we're going back 15 years, probably 20 years. This is historically a fairly long time frame.
Yep.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I can advise that in the 5 years, so we've gone back 5 years, ending 30th of June this year, the total expenditure on architectural fees is around $39,500. We've also spent money on what we call sort of categorised as design and preparation for the project that was previously approved by council. Expenditure for that totals just over $77,000. Also incurred project management expenditure of just over $32,000, and tendering and contract expenditure to go to market for the works of $7,500. The total is just over $156,500. In addition to that, we've also spent during the same period about $93,000 on just regular holding costs associated with the asset.
Okay, so total, please, in the last 5 years?
$250,000.
Okay, so I would like to put that question on notice previous to that, because I know there's been a lot of consultant reports that have been asked for by council, private heritage consultants, around that. So I would like that question, put that question on notice. We're looking at, say, maybe a 20-year time frame, because if you are considering disposing of this property, and the property may be worth $800,000, I'm just pulling an amount out of the air, then you have to say, well, that's how much it's worth, this is how much we've spent, so this is the loss.
Yep, so we can ask the staff to take that question
on
notice. Councillors, that's 15 minutes for public question time. Would someone like to move to extend it? Councillor Wilson, seconded Councillor Quinton. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. And sorry, what was your second question?
My second question is, what real and factual evidence do you have to show the Town of Bassendean community that you actually care, support and value the preservation and conservation of built heritage in our town? And I understand that's not a simple answer, but that's my question.
And I just go back to the comments that you made during public statement time, and you went back a long way through history. And that period of time spans numerous councils, numerous administrations. I think this council, which in this form has only been in place for a year, and then the majority of us around the table have been here for 3 years together, we can only speak for, you know, our actions during that period of time. I think there's a lot of things that we are doing. As you know, there's been a lot of changes, and there are things that are in the process of us being able to deliver to the community. Off the top of my head, some of the things that the town has done for a long period of time is that we have a dedicated local history librarian, which a lot of local governments, even larger local governments, don't have. The town has worked with BHS, supported them, so being involved in various projects, providing their insurance funds and so on. Just recently, Council endorsed the new local planning strategy and scheme, which I know you've had some involvement in. One of the inclusions in the draft is the creation of heritage precincts so that there can be some protection of the properties in those areas of our town where it is identified that there's a high proportion of historic buildings. A project that is in train with our planning staff at present is the development of design guidelines, which I know is something that's close to your heart, and I've lost track of how long you and your team have been with us now, Mr. Gibson, but it's within the last year they have been successively working through all of our planning policies, and that's one of the ones on the list to be developed in the not too distant future now that the scheme and strategy are underway. Anything else that you'd like to add at this point in time? Yeah, so I appreciate that there's more that you would like to see done. I also failed to acknowledge our Noongar history. One of the really important things that we're doing at the moment is trying to reset the relationship with the Indigenous people through developing agreements with the Whadjuk Working Group so that we have a common understanding and that foundational relationship for any projects that we're working on moving forward. So I think there's evidence that we're heading in the right direction. I'm not going to deny there's more work to be done, but to say that we don't care about history and heritage, I don't think is a fair comment to make.
I suppose my question goes to the theme that Council has historically, over the last 120 years, shown that they don't value heritage in real terms. I'm not talking about all the things that can be done and possibly are going to be done and that are in the pipeline, because this is rhetoric that I've been listening to for a long, long time. So I suppose I don't believe, and I think a lot of people in the town don't believe, that Council
can I ask you to come to another question?
A good track record for looking after heritage. So I think it continues. So that's not a question, it's a statement, of course. Thank
okay.
you.
Thank you. Any other questions? Yes.
I'm Brinkworth, 99 District, Fessenden. I'm like Jenny. I'm shaking. And the more I'm here, the more I'm getting angrier. When I first came on council 20 odd years ago or 30 years ago, Paul Bridges and Jenny Carter were on it and talked us in about this pensioner guard. In the beginning, I was against it. But I looked at it and I saw the value and I've continually supported it. It just breaks my heart now that a new board have come on and be it staff or be it councillors within a year decide to change things. Have you looked at what goes on? You all in your pamphlets mention the heritage yet. You just mentioned the Noongar language. Well, Madam Mayor, 25 years ago, the late Councillor Klein and I were on a committee trying to get that going.
Ms. Brisworth, have you got a question for Council?
The question is, where did this all come from? I can't seem to get my head around where did this come from? Who is driving this?
Okay, so Ms. Brinkworth, as you all would be aware, there have been plans for the site that have had a fairly convoluted past over recent years for various reasons. Most recently, the restoration project was put out for tender because the intention was to restore not only the cottage but the adjacent heritage or residents next door and extend it out the back so that it could be used for community purposes. And in this case, the plan was to use that rear section for the community child health nurse. As you're probably aware, when that went out for tender, the costs came back far in excess of what had been what had been estimated. And so that left Council in a very difficult situation, particularly during a COVID year, particularly when we have a huge number of ageing assets that we are custodians of and that we are required to manage. And so in response, no tenders were accepted, and we were left with a situation where we had to decide what the future was for this site. Hence the report that has come back to Council now, identifying various options for us to pursue. So tonight is about us coming back and having a look at this site and making a decision about what we can explore going forward. So as has been said a number of times, there's no decision being made tonight about disposing of the asset. It is what avenues we would like to explore now that the option of restoring it as originally planned has proved to be financially unviable at this point in time.
When you bring it out, it raises concerns. And going back to that, you had no community consultation. I can remember questioning here, and the idea was, oh, we've got to rush this through, especially for the Child Health Centre. So I'm sorry, I don't agree. I think you have rushed it through and you need to go back to the books.
Mr Grogan, I need you to...
I'm having a little laugh.
No, 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 you can't have a little laugh. We're trying to listen and it's disrespectful. I'm sorry. Ms Brinkworth, sorry, I've just lost my train of thought for a moment. In respect to your comment about rushing it through and the lack of community consultation, this project has been going on for many years that predates almost everybody in this room. So I agree with you. There were a large number of people in our community who weren't aware of this project long before I was on council. And I think there's a lot that we can learn from this project. One of the things that we can learn is about where these projects begin. And I think if this entire project was to start again, whoever was involved would do well to start from a different place of consultation more broadly than the current or the existing users of the facility. In terms of rushing it through in the Child Health Clinic, the comments you made, there was a Lottery West grant that the town was successful in obtaining.
Yeah, I'm aware of all that.
That grant had been extended a number of times. The town was at risk of losing that grant, hence the need to progress quickly. As has been mentioned tonight, that grant has been relinquished because the tenders came back so high that we weren't able to proceed with the project and the grant had expired. It had been extended so many times that Lottery West was no longer willing to extend it. And given that COVID was this year and the criteria for their grants had changed, it was no longer an option for us to pursue that. So I appreciate what you're saying. However, this project is so far down the track that there are many complications that have meant that things haven't always been able to progress in the ideal way that we would have been able to had we started this project from a different position. Any other questions? Okay, thank you everybody for your contribution. Just let me turn this timer off so it doesn't go off mid-meeting. Okay. So we'll close public question time. Item 8 is petitions, and I don't think we have any this evening. So item 9 is the confirmation of minutes. So Council 9.1A is in relation to the ordinary Council meeting from the 27th of October. Do I have a mover that the minutes be received? Councillor McWilliam seconded. Councillor Quinton. Anyone against? Is carried. And 9.1B, that they're confirmed as a true record, moved. Councillor Wilson seconded. Councillor Quinton. Nobody against? That is carried. 9.2 is in relation to the special council meeting held on the 4th of November. 9.2A, do I have a move that the minutes be received? Councillor Quinton seconded. Councillor William, anyone against? That is carried. And 9.2B, that they're confirmed as a true record, moved Councillor Quinton, seconded Councillor McWilliam. There's no one against, that is carried. There is no business deferred from the previous meeting, so item 11 is external committee updates. So there was an update from a number of meetings, the Welga Annual General Meeting, EMRC, Ordinary Council Meeting minutes, and the Delegates' Report. Do we have a mover that the attached minutes be noted? Councillor Hamilton seconded. Councillor McWilliam, so no one against, that is carried. So item 12 is the report. So coming out of on block tonight, I have item 12.2, 12.3, 12.5, 12.6, 12.7, 12.8, 12.11, 13.1, 16.1, 16.2, 16.3, and 16.4. Are there any others, Councillor Hamilton?
I have 12.13 out as well.
Counts paid?
Yes.
Anything else, councillors? Okay, in that case, can I have a mover for the remainder be carried on block? Councillor Wilson moves, seconded Councillor Hamilton. Is there anybody against? So that is carried. So item 12.2, this is the topic that we received a deputation on last week from Mr. Rhys Hartley. We've also had the deputation this evening from Historic Society, Ms. Tasma, and Mr. McDonald. Can I maybe ask our staff, Mr. Gibson, to respond to some of the points that were raised in the deputation and any updates that have occurred since the briefing session? Would that be possible?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. There's not a great deal to add. I'd certainly reiterate the comment that the decision for council tonight is not a the final step in the process. It is to effectively commence a process. In terms of the potential disposition to the state government, that would be satisfactorily captured by the fifth option, which is effectively the staff recommendations, as the CEO suggested. Council's adoption of the staff recommendation would not limit its ability to dispose of the site to a state government department if there was interest in such a department. In terms of the potential buyback provision, councillors will recall earlier this year when we dealt with a property in Eden Hill, there was for a period a buyback provision in that fated for that transaction, so it certainly can be entertained. Obviously, the acquiring authority would need to consent to that, but that would be the terms of the disposition, and that would be secured by a caveat on the title, meaning it couldn't be on-sold to a third party unless that third party also entered into the same terms of the deed. So, like I say, there are legal instruments that can be used to secure whatever outcome is being committed to by the potential acquiring body. But again, this process is simply to seek interests of groups or individuals. It does not mandate that council must dispose of the property. Obviously, council has the right to view and assess whatever proposals are lodged from groups or individuals and determine that one is satisfactory or could determine that there are no satisfactory proposals and therefore consider the future of the site in that context. So that's probably a synopsis against the comments made. I'm happy to take further questions.
Great, thank you. Councillors, do you have any questions for the staff? Councillor Quinton first.
Thank you. I just wanted to get some clarity around the Lotteries West grant. I would assume this might be a question for Mr. Adams initially. Should we maintain the grant and then match the funding? What kind of works need to be done immediately, and could that work be done by the acquittal date of May next year? Is that a possible reality for that to happen? And could that run concurrently with the EOI process?
Through the chair, Madam Mayor, you asking a subjective question, but it would be difficult to satisfy the conditions of the grants between now and May. Or probably impossible. To undertake the bare minimum work, the estimates that we've come in, I find the estimates to be really quite high, but what you do in this situation is you put it out to public tender and then the industry speaks, and the industry has spoken, and we had three tenders, and the three tenders are very high. I've prorated these tenders and we've done further investigation in what work that can be done. The bare minimum is about 100k.
Mr. Adams, sorry. I think Councillor Quinton might be talking about the 37,500 Lottery West grant for the cottage.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. My mind went to the whole project. Yeah sorry. The $37,500 worth of work could be done by May. Sorry about that. Could be done. I was thinking about the whole project. It would be a close call. It would have to go to tender. We're talking about a probably a 3-month tender period.
Did you just go out for a quote at that value?
Yeah, sorry, just a quote at that value. We could break the work up into smaller pieces as well and put them out incrementally and get that work done. So I do apologise, my mind did go to the overall project.
Can I make just the question? Can I just maybe ask our CEO to comment on this as well?
In addition to the actual quotes and works that would need to be undertaken, there were also a number of conditions imposed by Lottery West in terms of seeking agreement from various parties as to the scope of work. So that would need to be settled and negotiated prior to any quotes being sought. So that could take a period of time to get agreement from the various parties.
And those various parties are?
I believe one is the Bassendean Historical Society. I can't recall what the others...
National Trust Council. And the Western Settlers.
And that's just for the cottage?
That's correct.
Oh, thank you, Worship. So there was some discussion earlier.
Stand up, Councillor.
There was some discussion earlier in the comments made by members of the public about what possible protections there might be, and Mr. Gibson made reference to the deed under seal. What other options are available in terms of restrictive covenants that might be able to be placed to protect heritage and other such matters if the property was ultimately disposed?
Through you, Madam Mayor, there's always the opportunity for a heritage agreement, which is a mechanism under the local planning scheme regulations. I wouldn't suggest that's any better necessarily than a deed of agreement. This is a different instrument. It probably doesn't presuppose this potential scenario where a local government would be disposing of a property wanting to maintain some form of development control. If council, irrespective of what council resolves tonight, staff can certainly look at what a heritage agreement would entail, but I'd suggest on first pass that it would be no more beneficial than a deed agreement.
Thank you.
And just a follow-up question on that. Langate mentions that there's another category of covenant called a covenant with National Trust. Do you have any knowledge or familiarity with that as an option?
Through Madam Mayor, no, but happy to look into it.
Thank you. Councillor Hamilton.
Yes, through the Chair. I note that throughout the last couple of years when we have considered Surrey Street, there have been reports on the running costs and the maintenance costs associated with that building, well, both buildings. Particularly of relevance was if the buildings were only bringing in a peppercorn lease. And from my memory, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'm hoping someone, one of the officers, can answer me, but from my memory, the running costs, depending on what it was used for, varied anything from around about $85,000 a year up to $220,000 a year. Does anyone... Because I do remember that being presented to us, but it probably predates some of our current directors.
I think that might be the case, Councillor Hamilton.
Yes, okay.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I could just reiterate the figure that I quoted before in relation to maintenance costs or holding costs for the last 5 years, ending 30th of June this year, totaling $93,000.
That includes things like insurance.
It includes insurance, depreciation, the regular maintenance, electricity checks, those sorts of things.
Okay.
Councillor McWilliam had trouble hearing you then. Do you mind repeating that?
Councillor McWilliam. So I can advise that the maintenance costs for the premises over the last 5 years, ending 30th of June this year, totaled about $93,000, which covers things like regular maintenance, insurance, depreciation, those sorts of things.
Did you have a further question, Councillor Hamilton?
Okay, so that was just basic maintenance. the original plan was to always have the front two buildings as an interpretation centre. And I do recall that to run that, there was extra costs associated. But again, this probably predates. I suppose it comes back down to asking you to speculate. The problem, as I see it, is that a building that requires ongoing maintenance and also requires a substantial amount of money to restore it, I'm trying to ascertain how a small peppercorn lease and minimal use can actually be sustainable in the long term financially. Would you agree that this might be a problem?
I would agree that there would need to be funding from another source to meet those costs, yes.
Okay. Councillor Williams, did you have a question as well, or were you?
I noticed that part three of the recommendation says enters into an agreement. This is the whoever provides a tender that is acceptable.
Point three just relates to opening the Pensioner Guard cottage as per usual practice. Yeah.
Yes. So, we're asking the successful tenderer to enter into an agreement.
No, this is with the Town of Pasadena.
Okay, fine. My question then is, would that agreement be transferable to any new entity in responsibility for the building in the future?
Through you, Madam Mayor, it certainly could be, subject to whatever range of proposals Council receives, if of course Council resolves as recommended. If you look at the part one of the recommendation, it refers to genuine community benefit associated with the intended acquisition, and that can touch on a range of things, including financial return, heritage restoration, and or community access. So what that's suggesting is that they will be the measures against which any proposals are assessed, and it would be open to Council to weight the community access heavily or less heavily as it saw fit.
Anything further from you, Councillor Abdullah? Another question, Councillor Hodgson?
A question for the CEO, I think. Given some of the comments and questions tonight from people in the gallery, would the CEO, if this motion is supported, would the CEO entertain writing to the Department of DLH and to seek feedback, their feedback on whether they would be interested at all in acquiring the property? So we could put that in as an extra dot point in this.
Certainly.
Okay.
Councillor Quinton?
Just a question on clarity around writing of the tender. It's my understanding that that'll be solely in the control of the CEO and won't come back to Council before it goes out to tender?
That's correct. It's an administrative task. But with a number of tenders, such as the Old Perth Road Markets, there would always be a sort of a consultation with Council through the bulletin to seek feedback prior to that going to market, but it's not a requirement, it doesn't require a Council decision.
Okay, thank you.
Further questions, Councillor Hamilton?
It's not a question. You're aware that I've got an amendment to the officer's recommendation,
yes,
which I'll move when you're ready.
We all have that in front of them.
And I do want to add another dot point.
So if there are no further questions, is this new proposal to move a motion, Councillor Hamilton? Or?
Yes, I'd like to move what I have written.
So maybe you can read out the changes that you're proposing from the officer recommendation.
Okay. well, 1A is the same. The Council 1A seeks to dispose of 1 Lot 50 Surrey Street, Bassendean, by public tender in accordance with Section 3.582B of the Local Government Act 1995, with the tender process to require interested parties to demonstrate a genuine community benefit associated with their intended acquisition, which may include financial, heritage, restoration and or community access benefits. And 1B, that the CEO writes to the West Australian branch of the National Trust to provide an update on the direction Council has taken with this resolution and thanks the National Trust for engaging with the town this year.
Point 1C, that the CEO writes to the Department of Lands and Heritage to seek feedback on the potential for the Crown to acquire the property. 2 is the same as what's in the Office's recommendation, which advises Lotteries West that it wishes to relinquish the 37,500 grant relating to the Pensioner Guard Cottage, and thanks Lotteries West for its assistance and support in relation to 1 Surrey Street, Bassendean. And 3, enters into an agreement with the Bassendean Historical Society to allow access to the Pensioner Guard Cottage.
Thank you. Amy, did you get
all I just need the extra bit of wording for 1C, that the CEO writes to the Department of Lands and Heritage
to seek their feedback on the potential for the Crown to acquire the property.
OK, councillors, are there any questions around what is being proposed from Councillor Hamilton's amendment?
I wonder if Councillor Hamilton might entertain a small amendment to 1A. That would read, everything up to may include a public-private partnership with the Town of Bassendean, and then a new section that says, and will include financial heritage restoration and or community access benefits.
Okay, so can you read that again?
You'd require...
I'll read the whole paragraph.
Okay.
Seeks to dispose of 1 Surrey Street, Bassendean, by public tender in accordance with the section of the Local Government Act, with the tender process to require interested parties to demonstrate a genuine community benefit associated with their intended acquisition, which may include a public-private partnership with the Town of Bassendean and will include financial heritage restoration and or community access benefits.
So essentially you're introducing the option of a public-private partnership.
That may include and then will include financial heritage restoration and or community access benefits.
I am in favour of all of that, including the heritage restoration and or community access benefits. The financial, though, I would put to you that we may not require a financial benefit from this.
That's
so
why she said and or, I think.
I didn't. I said will include financial.
You did say will include. So financial, I think, would be one which should be optional.
Okay, then change that to will include heritage restoration and community access benefits and or financial.
Okay.
Okay, councillors, can we make sure everybody has the same understanding here, and Amy as well? Do you have something written down at the moment, Amy?
Yes. Can I read it back to you?
That would be wonderful, please.
So, require interested parties to demonstrate a genuine community benefit associated with their intended acquisition, which may include a public-private partnership with the Town of Bassendean and will include heritage restoration, community access benefits and or financial support or
benefit.
Can you please read that last part again?
Which may include a public-private partnership with the Town of Bassendean and will include heritage restoration, community access benefits and or financial benefits.
May I just ask a question of the CEO or the staff on that? I don't perceive any issues with that. It still keeps it quite broad for the prospective tenders. Would the CEO consider that to be correct?
It is still very open, but I guess what has occurred is the May, where we've talked about the criteria of financial heritage and community access, is now will for heritage and community, so that's almost become an essential criteria, and the financial is now almost optional. That was the intent.
That is, thank you.
Okay, well, I think it's the intent of these councillors around the table, but I won't know until the voting, that the reason we have got to this point is that we wanted some heritage restoration of the property. Could I ask one more question before we go forward? With the community access benefits, that would be up to whoever's tendering to provide what that access might be. Would that be correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
I would imagine that there could be a process of negotiation with whatever responses we receive, though, that if there's something that looks promising, there could be
absolutely
refinement and negotiation.
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm fine.
Thank you. No?
Once a tender response has been received, it's not really an option to enter into negotiations. It's a pretty formalised process through the regulations.
If it gets to that point.
I think you could inform them.
Because they may not be willing to it to the specificity that we have.
Well, you'd have to move that. Could we maybe translate that conversation for everybody else to hear?
Certainly. So I guess if we think about it from a two-tiered perspective, if we go out to a public tender, we receive a response as an evaluation. We may have a preferred tenderer, but then we talked about an additional control being a deed of agreement, which could nut out some of that specificity that we talked about in terms of expectations.
Okay.
Would you like to add anything?
Sorry, I don't want to put it in the tender.
I think it's probably getting into a bit of a specific detail that we'd probably need to consider further. There are some very specific requirements around the tender process and the evaluation process under the Functions and General Regulations attaching to the Local Government Act that I think we just need to give some consideration to work out what might be possible once an evaluation has been conducted and a preferred tender is selected. Then obviously there's still a step that needs to come to council. But what can happen in between those two steps is something that I think we need to look at a bit further.
Doesn't change this.
Sorry, I'm full of questions. Would I be correct in assuming that given the unique nature of this particular proposal that the administration may well consider doing some compulsory site visits prior to tenders being submitted? And that these might actually... Well, I think you'd have to do that, wouldn't you?
Do you mean down at Surrey Street?
Yeah.
That can be incorporated into the terms of the tender document.
I think if you're looking at trying to actually nut out... These are ways of doing it. I know that you've actually done that with other tenders, so...
And I imagine our CEO has said that if council supports this motion, that... provide the tender for us to provide feedback on, and they would be the kind of things that people, councils, could bring to your attention for possible inclusion in the tender documentation.
I imagine anyone that's going to put in a response would want to have a look at the structural integrity of the building, if they're potentially expressing an interest.
Okay. Councillor Wilson.
So
is this a question on the amendment that has been proposed? Or?
It is, yes. So in addition to a tender process, there's also an expression of interest process that's open to local governments. I'm just wondering if you could explain the officer's reasoning behind not recommending that we have an expression of interest process instead.
Through you, Madam Mayor. It is open to council to run an expression of interest process. Section 358 of the Local Government Act sets out how local governments can dispose of property, and that is at a public auction, which would not be appropriate in this circumstance, or via a public tender process. There is an exemption to that whereby it becomes a bit of a two-phase process, where if council was to go by an expression of interest, which falls outside the tender process, council could then make a decision about what might be the preferred expression, and then there is an advertising process under the Act and the regs that would allow council to appoint a party that way. So it is open to council to do that.
Do you mind clarifying when you say there's an advertising process? What?
What does that involve?
If council was to choose an entity, because they put up a good proposal in council's opinion, and council decided that was worth pursuing, because council didn't, in that situation, follow the tender process under the Act, it would need to advertise it publicly what the proposed disposition constitutes, and that would be who it's to, what's the consideration, and what are the attached conditions, in a fashion not too dissimilar to what was carried out for the Eden Hill property earlier this year. So it's certainly available to council to do that. It's arguably a longer, more protracted process, but no less legitimate.
So is there any reason other than the length of time that the process could require that staff would recommend the tender process over an EOI?
Through you, Madam Mayor, no. Like I say, it's a legitimate course of action and one that council embarked upon and successfully transacted on the property earlier this year, so it's certainly open to council. If council thinks that's more advantageous or more desirable to go down that path, it's certainly up to council to do that.
Thank you. Councillor Hampton, would you be willing to consider amending your motion to change it to a POI process rather than a public tender?
I am somewhat adverse to doing that because of the timeline that has occurred with this property. I've been on council for 3 years and it's been a long process. I actually think that the building needs to
Council
be restored.
Hampton, we're trying to move. I'm thinking a motion happening here.
How long would the timeline be extended?
3 Madam Mayor. Not, I suppose it all depends on your opinion, but it would need to be advertised, I'd suggest, for a period of at least 3-4 weeks. Obviously, it would be open to the community to make submissions on someone else's proposal. So, depending on the number of submissions we got about the advertised proposal, that could take a little bit of time, but I would be speaking in a small number of months, not years.
Reluctantly, yes.
Okay, hold on a second. So, Councillor Hamilton, let's just get clear on what you're moving, Councillor Hubbin. So you're moving the officer recommendation with point B and point C, but with point 1A change. So where it's referencing public tender, we're changing that by an expression of interest.
Yep.
With interested parties to demonstrate a genuine... Yes?
So that's section 3.582. I thought you said earlier that that still applies through in the OI process. Yes, no?
Through you, Madam Mayor. The EOI process is governed by 3.583, in that a local government can dispose of a property other than that in subsection 2, so long as before agreeing to dispose of the property, it does certain things in terms of advertising.
Okay, so the changes required would be section 3.582 would become 3.583, and where it references tender, it would change to an EOI process. Is that correct, Amy?
That's what I have.
Yep. Councillor Hunting, is that what your understanding is of your proposal?
Yep.
Is everybody clear on what is currently being proposed? And we do not yet have a seconder for this motion. So before we proceed any further, Councillor Quinton, is that seconding? Okay. Councillor Wilson?
Sorry, I have an additional amendment.
Okay, so you need to check with the mover and the seconder.
Thank you, Your Worship. If it's acceptable to the mover and the seconder, I propose an additional point be included that reads, the council requests the CEO provide council with a report on the options available to the town under the various types of restrictive covenants to protect community access and heritage considerations.
Councillor Hamilton?
I have a question.
Yes.
When...
It's just a report, Kath.
Surely that report would not come back until after the EOI process, would it not?
think that's a general question, is it, Councillor Wilson, that your request for a report, you're seeking knowledge?
Just for the sake of clarification, that the report would happen concurrently such that before it came back to Council for a further decision, we would have the options available under restrictive covenants.
May I ask Councillor Wilson, perhaps we could do that in a workshop rather than the report. Would a workshop be more suitable for the to include that as a topic in a workshop?
Or alternatively, we could provide it via a bulletin information?
If it's all the same to the councillor, I'd prefer to have it in writing, if that's okay.
Okay, so...
So would you like to include it in your motion or not, Councillor Hamilton?
My question is, does that actually have to come back to Council, or can it be provided in writing via the bulletin or in a workshop? That's my question to the Councillor.
Okay. My intention would be, and I'm happy to add additional words to specify, that we would receive this information prior to any further consideration of our options in relation to the light.
In a Council meeting?
Doesn't matter.
No, okay, fine.
So that we have this information at hand before we make a further
decision. No, that's fine. I just wanted to clarify that.
I think our CEO is clear on what the intention would be there. So, Councillor Hamilton, are you including that in your motion?
Yep, so and that would be a dot point.
Hold on a moment. And Councillor Quinton is the seconder. Are you comfortable with that
yes,
as well?
Yes.
Thank you. Amy, do you have the
I have
point?
Half down of what Councillor Wilson said.
So maybe you could repeat that for the minute taker.
Thank you, Worship. Yes, the Council requests the CEO provide Council with a report on the options available to the town under the various types of restrictive covenants to protect community access and heritage considerations.
Thank you. All right, if everyone's clear, we've had a mover for the motion and a seconder for the motion. Is there anybody against the motion? Councillor Gandrill. Councillor Hamilton, would you like to speak to your motion?
Okay. I think that there is probably a lot of truth on both sides of the room here tonight. I think that this property has been in the town's ownership for 32 years. As there are a lot of properties that we own in this town that are at their end of life, that are beyond help, some of them. And I find that appalling. And I can't criticise past people because I don't know why they made decisions. I wasn't here, so I can't criticise. I do know that we are a small town with limited resources. I do know that heritage properties require a lot of money to restore. And I do know if it's left much longer, there won't be anything to restore with that residence.
So
I am keen to find ways to have a full restoration done of that property. I also believe strongly that properties, heritage properties that have active use by multiple people are best maintained. We have examples all over Perth and all over WA of heritage properties that are owned in by corporations, that are owned in private use, that are owned by National Trust. And if they're active, if there's a lot of activation going around that those properties, they are well maintained. But properties that have almost no use or limited use, they usually fall into decline. There are examples all over Perth. I mean, we just go down to Maylands. I was at Dome the other day in Maylands. Now, that was empty for a long time, dilapidated. A commercial entity, yes, a commercial entity, came along and decided that they wanted that property and they would spend the money to restore it. And I mean a significant amount of money. And it means that people like me can go in there whenever I like and sit there and look at the beautiful, beautiful architecture. And I think to myself, this is what we need. We need to have this property restored to its absolute nth degree, and we need to have use of that property. Now, people turn their noses up at commercial use. Some of the commercial businesses in the world are the best keepers of heritage. And heritage is really important. And if we don't have money, we don't have restoration. I don't believe the local government is the best entity to own a heritage property. From what I've seen, I do not believe they are the best entity to own heritage. Anzac Cottage was divested by City of Vincent, I think it was, because they said that they were not the best entity. They didn't have the skill set to actually look after this property. And it was with the blessing of the community group that look after that cottage that it was divested to the National Trust. Our preference might have been to divest to the National Trust, but that option is not open to us. We are looking for another option. We cannot be criticised for that. We shouldn't be criticised for that, because we're looking for the best outcome. Now, we don't have a magic crystal ball. We can't see what responses will come back. But hopefully, there will be some good responses. And hopefully, we will have a good outcome for everybody.
Thank you. Councillor Quinton?
I don't think there's much to add to Councillor Hamilton's comments. I agree wholeheartedly with everything that she has said. I do genuinely believe that when we had the election in 2017, we all came in with a different view on how we wanted things to be done in this town, and we very quickly changed a lot of things, and one of those things was Surrey Street. We were given it. We went down a road where we had so many plans on the table, and we had agreed to a plan, and then unfortunately that plan became so expensive it would have been detrimental to other people in the town in terms of the outlay of the expense we needed to invest in that property. So we've had to go back here. What I would like to get is as much information as possible to come back to us to see what our options are. I am, though, quite convinced by the idea and some of the commentary that sometimes when you do divest out of public hands, it can be detrimental. In saying that, I want to have all the information in front of me. And that's what this motion does tonight. That's what this motion allows us to do. And I think it's a comfortable way for us to go very steadily, get the information, make it a consultative decision with the community who have come and represented the town tonight. I've lived in this town 40 years. I am as much invested in this town as the rest of you. And I'm only 40 years old, so that says a lot. So I think let's get the information that we can. Let's bring the community back to the table. Let's have another discussion about it, and let's get the outcome that we really want to achieve.
Thank you, Councillor Quinton. Councillor Ganjo.
Thank you, Your Worship. I would like to acknowledge our Freemans in the town tonight, Councillor Carter and also Councillor Brinkworth. They're Freemans of the town, and also former councillors. Thank you, and also former Councillor Bridges, and also former Councillor Jenny Collins, who I didn't have a pleasure with serving on council with. And also I would just like to acknowledge the late Tina Klein as well. All bar Councillor Collins, I had the pleasure of serving, although we all had our differences at various times. I had the pleasure of serving on council with all the previous councillors, and this item obviously has been a major issue in the town. I feel like this motion tonight is trying to deliver everything and nothing all in one. I think the danger is sometimes you make things too onerous, and you may potentially lack anybody with interest. And certainly it's that interest is why it should remain in the town's hands. The town of Bassendean has, and this community has, invested a lot of money into this property, with a clear goal to restore it. Now, last week we heard from somebody that would potentially be interested in it. This is clearly going to be potentially a long-term project for somebody of up to 6 years restoration. Now, if that's a six-year goal, I believe the council can restore the property if we're looking at six-year timeframes. I think it's also about priority as well, and certainly serving with those former councillors. Whilst we had differences, clearly our goal was to give investment in infrastructure into the town, and I'm very confident that previous councils would have made this a high priority to find the shortfall in funds, and if that meant potentially not delivering on other projects elsewhere, I believe that would have been achievable. I think you look at what can happen. Looking at the 80s or 90s, I think the Midland Town Hall might well have been demolished had it not been for the community rallying behind to save it, and what a wonderful asset, heritage asset, that now is to the City of Swan. And, of course, Midland's now celebrating their 125th anniversary this year. But I'll just urge councillors to look at community facilities. I strongly believe if you build it, they'll come, they'll use it. We desperately need more community facilities in the town. I believe this is a great asset that will add to the facilities that we have for use for our community. I believe going re-looking at it, we can again potentially at a later date get a Lottery West grant back. It's very disturbing that we have subsequently tonight, if it is carried as suggested, giving back $375,000 to the state. So
I
would just thank you very much. I just urge everybody to consider the priorities for the town.
Just
thank
to
you.
Correct you, Councillor Gandrill, it's $37,500 that is being proposed to be given back, not
The whole lot was $375,000. The grant was not
tonight.
Yes, but that, but we're giving back the last lot of the $375,000.
Okay. Any other speakers for the motion? Councillor Wilson.
Thank you, Your Worship. It's a matter of public record. When this came before us last in July 2020, that I did not vote with the majority on the item, and I do not reflect on that other than to acknowledge that my point of view at that time was in the minority, and we are now faced with a different set of circumstances to address. Also, note contributions made by many of the former councillors in the public submissions tonight, and I make no judgments other than to note that no previous council ever made adequate provision for the asset management of this. A decision was made to take the asset on, but never was any responsible decision made to make adequate provision to keep the maintenance of this building up to scratch. And you know, people can make their own reflections and judgments on that if they choose. I support the amended recommendation with the inclusion about the point on restrictive covenants, because I understand the concerns of the community to be to ensure community access and to ensure the preservation of the heritage values, and I would like to understand more about what options are available to us under restrictive covenants in order to ensure that, regardless of who owns the asset, the community access and heritage considerations are protected. This decision does not dispose of the asset. This decision brings forward a range of other options for us to look at a later time. I understand anxiety and concern that people have in the community about the asset being gotten rid of or somehow bulldozed, but that's not what the effect of this motion would be. The effect of this motion would simply be to find out if there's somebody else who not only has a passion for the building but also has the money to do the work that's necessary, so that we can consider that and see if that's a possible option going forward. And for those reasons, I support the current motion before us now.
Thank you, Councillor Wilson. Can I just encourage councillors to speak to council rather than to the audience so we can all hear what is being said clearly, please? Any other speakers? No, Councillor Hamilton, would you like to close?
I look forward to someone who will have a passion for that building and the financial capacity to actually love it and look after it. You know, it's very easy to criticise a council that is as small as this and doesn't have the financial capacity to actually restore every building. There are other entities, other towns that have more historical buildings than we do and own less. So, you know, it's an interesting aspect. It's not unusual for councils to divest themselves of property that doesn't have a specific use that is well used. Now, this is the thing, you know, we can talk about peppercorn leases, we can talk about community use, But if the building is not well used, it will not be used to its maximum potential. And I am interested in that. I sometimes think during this process, the old saying, too many cooks spoil the broth. And I do think that there were too many entities pouring in all their desires of what they wanted out of this building. And none of it had really practical uses. It was, we want to use it as a museum. Well, it's off the beaten track. An interpretation centre, yes, okay, that's fine. When I suggested that perhaps we could use it as a gallery as well, there were outraged that I would suggest that. We need compromise. If we don't compromise, this building will not be restored to its full potential. And I would ask people to think long and hard on that, that you need to work collaboratively to get the best outcome. And if you don't do that, we all end up with nothing. And I don't think anybody around this table wants that building to deteriorate further. This is the one thing that none of us wanted. We all wanted that building to be restored. But financially, there is absolutely no way that this council can afford to restore that building to the level it should be restored.
Thank you, Councillor Hamilton. Okay, councillors, we'll put that to the vote. So all those in favour of the motion, Councillor Wilson, Quinton, Hamilton, McWilliam and McLennan, and against is Councillor Gandrill, so that is carried. Thank you, everyone. So now we're moving on to item 12.3, which is the additions to the small bar at the Cork and Bottle. So as councillors would be aware, thank you, those of you who are in attendance, appreciate you being here. We received a deputation last week from Mr. Ben Carter from Pinnacle Planning, who was representing the Cork and Bottle. We might just wait till everybody leaves the room quietly. Okay, councillors, so
Paul's left his 20 cents here, just...
his contribution
to the restoration works and responsible asset management fund.
Excuse me, are you intending to stay for the rest of the meeting? You're very welcome to, but if you are, can I ask you to just stop the conversation so we can hear at the desk here? Thank you. Okay, councillors, so you'd be aware that last week when Mr. Carter was here, there were a number of propositions that we put to him to take away to the owner, particularly around the fixed nature of the structure and the tree and so on. So staff have clearly been in contact with Mr. Carter this week. Mr. Gibson, would you mind speaking to the updates that have been provided this week?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. They're quite straightforward. The applicant has amended their proposal to remove the, I think, 1 metre high, or near enough, walls that were going to run along the perimeter of the area, and has instead substituted in full-length blinds so as to allow free and unimpeded movement through the space. Otherwise, the application remains the same.
Thank you. And was there a slight correction in the recommendation that you wanted to bring to Council's attention? Maybe, I think it was point E, which currently says must ensure that no damage or obstruction is caused.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Just to delete the words location of pergola and replace with road preserve, so just to be more general in terms of the condition rather than limiting it to the rectangular footprint, which is about 30-odd square metres, just to talk about the road reserve more generally.
Can I just ask, on the plans that were submitted, and thank you for liaising with the planning consultants, there's the, because I know the stormwater drainage was something that they needed to provide you with further information on. How is that working in the diagram? I can't find it now. On the bottom of page 3 of 5, there's some corners in the bottom left-hand... Sorry, some pictures in the bottom left-hand corner of the... It says connect the rainwater pipe, I assume it is that what? RWP?
Yep.
To council stormwater system. Is that underground?
Through Madam Mayor, yes. That's the grate in blue there. So the applicant's proposing to have a subterranean connection into that.
Fabulous, thank you. Questions from councillors? Councillor Hamilton?
through the chair, my understanding after reading the Arbor Carbon report is that this tree is actually not one of the trees identified in the Arbor Carbon report for Old Perth Road as being not faring well. That this tree didn't actually rate a mention in there. So, rate a mention has been wanting to be removed. So, can you confirm that, Luke? Sorry, Miss.
Through Madam Mayor, the Arbor Carbon report makes a generalised observation about this type of tree in Old Perth Road and makes a general observation that across the board they seem to be of suboptimal health and recommends that if council wants to pursue greater canopy cover, there are more appropriate species, but doesn't make a definitive comment either way about this particular tree.
I also read that there was consultation with the property owner who owns, I think it's all four, so he owns all four shops, so the one with Cork and Bottle and then the other three shops adjoining, and he was consulted, or he or she, I don't know who it is, but the tenants in the adjoining shops were not advised of what this proposal was. Would that be correct?
Through you, Madam Mayor, we didn't consult with the owner. They made the application.
Okay.
So they were deemed to have been supportive of it. The tenants don't own the premises. They operate from land owned by the applicant.
So, Councillor Hamilton, this is something that I communicated with the CEO on about this afternoon and requested that in future, although the obligation may only be to consult with adjoining landowners, so in future the preference would be for us to also consult with business owners because they're also important members of our community that we want to hear their voice.
And I think, Madam Mayor, you might find that tenants would be rather disempowered in those circumstances if their property owner is supportive.
Yes, and I think the staff have heard that comment, and in future that would be undertaken.
That's a shame.
Any further questions? Councillor Wilson.
Thank you, Your Worship. Just on point E, I'm wondering if there's any legal definitional requirements around the reference here to manhole, or whether we can call it a maintenance hole, as you know, we're doing these modern days.
Through you, Madam Mayor, I don't suggest there would be any issue with that. You could make some generic comment about drainage infrastructure.
Thank you. Councillor Hamilton?
Through the chair, I know that when we, like for instance the recent approval of O2 for the little garden out the front, that they must allow it to be open to the public. So how does this play out with this particular proposal where, you know, it gets encased, and how does that play out with the public having access to that space?
Mr. Gibson, please.
Through you, Madam Mayor, it would remain public space unless there was a subsequent approval or a subsequent permit under the relevant local law to allow it to be used from time to time for business purposes. This application for council not only deals with the structure, and if council approves this but there's no subsequent approvals, it remains a public space. But the applicant has suggested they will be lodging an application for a local law permit.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Just an amendment.
I think Councillor McQuillian had a question first.
I'm just querying the part A, the applicant must hold a current public liability insurance policy with indemnity of not less than $20 million. And noted that with reference to the park that was still quiet all times. There's no sort of qualification to that extent in this item, so it can be included as well.
So you need to propose an amendment, is that what you're suggesting, to address that?
Probably, yes, definitely.
Yep. So, Councillor Quinton, you also have a question?
I have a quick question on that. Just in relation to at all times, I would have thought, for example, at 10 p.m. at night when the business isn't open, or perhaps 9 a.m. in the morning, that if somebody had walked through there and had tripped, that would be the town at that point in time and not the business, because it's not being utilised by the business at that direct point in time. How does that work?
Through Madam Mayor, it would apply at all times. I suppose this is the proponent's proposal. So they choose to take on that risk, and that comes with their requirement to hold a public liability.
Wonderful. Thank you.
So does that mean there's no need for an amendment because it's implicit?
Councillor Quinton, you said you wanted to move an amendment. Does that mean you're moving the motion with an amendment?
Sure.
Okay. All right.
Just point F, after the tree to be removed, that it state and for those funds to be deposited into the tree reserve. Please.
Also, Councillor Quinton, in discussions with Mr. Maher this week, he indicated there was the potential for this tree to be transplanted. I'm not sure of the success, but that's something that the town will pursue. I'm not sure whether you wanted to include that in your motion.
Yes, thank you.
Hold on a moment, let's just get this sorted out first. So Councillor Quinton, made a change to point F of the officer recommendation.
Changing manhole to maintenance hole. Thank you.
I think we still just need to get point F clarified.
Yes, I have that.
And have you written that, or do you need me to, Renee?
No, I have at the end, and for those funds to be deposited into the tree reserve.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. For the tree to be transplanted. Is that an additional point that you want?
Yes, that could probably just be an additional point to make it simpler.
Yeah. Or do you want it in?
Oh, so it's yours. I don't know. However it best fits.
Okay, then let's just make it that the tree be transplanted in point F.
Yep.
And the funds be deposited into the tree reserve. Thank you.
Let's just check what Amy's got. I've seen your question, Councillor Gange. We'll get to you in just a sec. How are you going there, Amy?
So F, I have to be removed in accordance with Council Policy 1.8 street trees, and for the tree to be transplanted and for those funds to be deposited into the tree reserve.
Yes, thank you.
Okay,
Councillor
Gange, you had a question?
Yes, thank you, Your Worship. Just a question in relating to transplanting the tree. Mm-hmm. How much would that cost? That concerns
Mr. Marwin, we discussed this afternoon. I got the impression you didn't think it would be a significant task to undertake. Is that correct? Please feel free to correct me if I misinterpreted you.
It'd be a cost that we do as part of operating. I imagine it would be a minor cost.
So there's no ballpark figure?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of thousand dollars, Councillor.
Okay, and they'll be borne by the town?
I think we've worked that into the arrangement. I think they're part of the resolution is that they pay a contribution. If they're not paying that contribution, then...
Yeah, so they pay $2,264.80. That's for a replacement tree, but we're going to use those funds to relocate the tree. Is that what we're going to be allocating the funds for?
It may not survive.
Okay. I know, but that's what I'm trying to get an understanding of. If we're putting a motion forward, exactly who's paying for it, what's the cost, and what is the $2,264.80 for?
If I can, Madam Mayor, what would be proposed by this recommendation is the applicant pays the fee to the town, that is receipt, and moved into the appropriate reserve. It would then be up to town staff to liaise with the applicant so that the town could in fact remove the tree as opposed to letting the applicant do it, because if the applicant is left to do it, I imagine it would be destroyed. So the town would need to liaise with the applicant to ensure that we do the work. I believe that would be covered through temporary operational costs as opposed to being the expenditure of the $2,500.
Yep.
Councillor Hamilton?
This is one for the CEO. And please tell me if this is not the right time to discuss this. We might end up discussing some at a workshop. But it occurs to me that we have a lot of requests to remove trees or, in this case, relocate trees. And there's always potential with relocated trees that they won't survive. But when we're removing trees, it's all a cost of labour and time and energy for our administration, and it's not always planned. So my question is, shouldn't we be looking at a policy where we do a two-for-one replacement when we are actually doing this at the request of an entity like a resident or a business? Should we not be looking at potentially doing a two-for-one type replacement?
I think you're asking, could we possibly look at a two-for-one?
Could we? I mean, not for this particular proposal, right? But it seems to me that this might be something we should explore, given the number of requests that we've had lately.
Certainly something we can explore. Mr. Mark, can I just ask you the cost associated with transplanting a ballpark of $2,000, in your professional opinion, would it be worth, with this particular specimen, attempting to transplant it?
It depends what, I guess, how incredible success is. There'd be a risk that moving this tree would die in the summer and the mist comes. And I imagine that once it's approved, that people want to get on with the structure, so they want us to go on moving the tree fairly quickly, so we'd be able to do all the normal root preparation that would go on and so forth. In terms of if we're looking at what's the best canopy outcome in a 5-year period, the size of that tree versus it's quite small, it's not going to grow into a lot. Maybe some reasonable trees around the city, we end up around the town, we end up with better cover as well. I guess in terms of thinking about value of trees in the town centre and trees in the town in general, when there's an opportunity like that to plant a tree, it always seems like it's a good idea to be able to go.
Councillor Clinton's nodding and shaking. I'm not really sure what she's saying.
No, we'll give it a go. Because it's my understanding that it's just staff time that's the outlay. Is that correct? Or do we have to hire special equipment? Or, I mean, what is the actual specific cost? Just going back to Councillor Gantry's question.
It'd be largely staff.
Okay, then they get paid.
Okay, Councillor Hamilton and then Councillor Gantry.
I just draw your attention to email response from the admin this morning to the amendment that I've withdrawn, that the staff were supportive of changing the wording for the insurance in point 1A. But I'm not going to move that amendment because I'm voting against this. So
okay.
I'll just show you the wording.
Yeah, I've got it.
Councillor
Gadget,
maybe a question more.
I'm just wondering, I can't see what's actually being changed with the F part, but would it not be easier just if we just had F, just as prior to applying for a building permit, the landowner / applicant shall pay to the town of Bassendean for the amenity value for the tree to be relocated $2,264.80 in accordance with the council policy 1.8 street trees.
I don't see how the intent is any different. They pay a fee.
Yeah, but I want to make it very clear that they are...
We've made it specifically clear.
We don't get any...
It's Councillor Quinton's motion, and she's happy with the wording at the moment, so...
Very good. Very
okay, did you have something else you were wishing to say?
No.
No.
Can I have the motion read out again?
Just hold on 2 seconds and then you can. Councillor Hamilton just passed you something about the insurance. Are you including that or not?
No, because the email that I read was that it wouldn't make a difference.
All right, so for the benefit of councillors, can we please have the amendments read out for us?
Okay. So we have E, we have maintenance hole instead of manhole, and the end is grade reserve instead of gola. And F, prior to applying for a building permit, the landowner applicant shall pay to the Town of Bassendean the amenity value of the tree to be removed, $2,264.80, in accordance with Council Policy 1.8, street trees, and for the tree to be transplanted and for the funds to be deposited into the tree reserve account.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, is everybody clear? So we've got Councillor Quinton, who has moved this motion with the amendments. Is there a seconder for the motion? Councillor Wilson has seconded. Councillor Hamilton is against. Do you wish to debate Councillor Quinton?
Oh, only to say that this is a bit more of a cosmopolitan style structure. I think if you go anywhere around Europe, these kinds of structures, even in places in Italy and Spain where there is very little rain and very little weather, they still have these kinds of structures. And they can look quite elegant. And people do appreciate them because they are able to sit longer, eat longer, spend more money longer, and all of those types of things. So I think the compromise that they've come to is satisfactory in terms of removing the barriers around it. I think we've come to a good compromise to try and save the tree and put the money in the tree reserve, which will buy more trees for us and potentially up and down Old Perth Road. In terms of the look and style and the obstruction, this is not something that's going to be the blinds down 12 months of the year. It's an option for them so that their customers can be more comfortable and have more of a pleasurable stay. So that's why I will support the motion.
Thank you, Councillor Quinton. Councillor Wilson?
Wait for my second.
Thank you, Councillor Hamilton.
Fascinating. We live in a climate that has very little rainfall, and we have a lack of outdoor eating and, you know, places. I think to myself, what a shame to put a metal roof on top so you can bake underneath and to cover it with some mesh, which makes me feel like I'm at home on my back veranda. I just think that from an amenity point of view, it just doesn't do it. It could be so much better. You could grow vines, you could grow bougainvillea, I think that is, all over it. There's so many things you could do to actually make it beautiful. And in this town, we have a great talent for ugly. We build ugly, we approve ugly, we have ugly stuff.
Kathy, might
I think we have some very ugly things in the town. And I think that I just think that this is not particularly great for the location. And the officer's report earlier in May asked the applicant that it actually didn't fit with the I'm trying to find it now. So somewhere in the officer's report, it indicated in May that it was not. It didn't fit with the actual local area there, but I can't find the wording right now. But I do think that I just think it does a disservice to the area. I think I congratulate the applicant for actually listening to councillors last week and for modifying the plans. I think, yes, you know, that's great. but I still don't believe that this is a great outcome for that area.
Thank you, Councillor Hamilton. Are there any other speakers for or against? Councillor Ganger?
Thank you, Your Worship. Look, I'll speak in favour of the motion. This is the type of investment that we try to encourage in the town centre. In fact, we're spending hundreds of thousands of dollars talking to landholders in the main street, try to encourage them to get excited, to invest, to enhance their businesses. I note that this particular applicant has done substantial amount of work over the years, including paving the area as well many years ago. And I think this will be an additional enhancement for the area to be used in a range of different weather conditions, whether it be in whichever season of the year. It will be a benefit to actually enclose the area for additional comfort for the people that are utilising the street hub and the little bar that is there. So I commend this to council and thank the applicants for coming to council and investing and enhancing their property in the town of Bassendean.
Thank you, Councillor Ganger. Would you like to close, Councillor Quinton? Okay. We'll put that to the vote then. All those in favour, Councillor Wilson, Quinton, Gangell and McWilliam. That, and against is Councillor Hamilton and McLennan. That is carried. Item 12.5, the proposed tree preservation orders. Any questions on this one? Councillor Hamilton, I believe you had a small amendment proposed.
Yes, it was just the resident was very keen to have tree number 4 included.
So you're proposing to move the officer recommendation?
Officer recommendation with 4. I do take on board the officer's comments. I also listened last week at the briefing where you said it wouldn't make any difference, so I thought that given that it provides some bird habitat, that we may as well include number 4. I do agree with the officers that number 5, sorry, not number 5, the other tree, which is not included.
Okay, Councillor Hamilton, so just, Amy, do you
enough
to amend the...
Sorry, I was looking for this.
Okay, do we have a seconder for the motion with tree number 4 also included? Councillor Quinton seconded. Yes.
Just a question of the officers. Just in relation to the trees on the register, I mean, this is on somebody's individual property, so I don't have an issue as such. They want to list their own trees, best of luck. But the officers recommended not listing all of them. Is that because you wanted some integrity to the orders? Just wondering why if somebody comes and they want holeless bollers, why would say no, you, instead of having 6, you have 3?
Through you, Madam Mayor, broadly, yes. The scheme sets out the assessment regime, and we've tried to stay genuine to that. In terms of the proposed amendment, it goes beyond what we think is an appropriate... the most appropriate selection of trees, but as I said last week, it's quite low risk. It's the applicant's request, it's the applicant's land, it's the applicant's trees. If they wish to have them added to the order, it's low risk to council.
Okay, so we've got a mover and a seconder. Is there anybody against the motion? Okay, so that is carried unanimously. 12.16 is the draft amended council policy relating to awards. Did you have an
amendment
as well, Councillor
Martin? I did, but I want to ask some questions.
Yes.
If I could just get my page. Okay, on page 3 of the draft policy, in attachment 8, clause 1.3, award presentation, point A, it says the manner in which the awards are presented will be determined on an annual basis having regard for other civic events and community initiatives. Now, this afternoon I got an email which indicated that the award doesn't have to be a certificate, that that can be changed to a financial benefit or whatever. I'm assuming that clause is what you're referring to when you say that annually you can change it. Is that right?
Through Madam Mayor, no, that's not correct. I suppose that clause is referring to the, I suppose, the action of providing the something to the individual, whether that's at a town event, whether it's at a council meeting, whether it's via post. It's the way we sort of convey the award rather than what the award constitutes.
Okay, so I can't remember if it was the CEO who sent the email, but I did get something this afternoon that said that, you know, consideration in the future of a financial award could be considered. I'm trying to find where that is in the policy, and I can't actually see it, so I'm just curious about that.
If I can, Madam Mayor, there is no reference in the policy to any financial award. Proposed provision 1.3b conveys what the winners would receive. It doesn't specifically prohibit financial windfalls, so it would be open for council at budget time to make an allocation for that purpose, but it doesn't oblige council.
I guess my comment, my question is that, yes, we could do that at budget time, but there's so much that goes on at budget time. This is one of those little ones that, you know, we don't often see the little ones. And the other comment I'd make is that we don't get the financial awards for the students. The graduations come to us at budget time. So I'm trying to figure out what's the difference here.
I understand there's actually a budget for the student awards that's aligned to councillors, and that's where the $500 donation actually comes.
So I think what Councillor Hamilton, though, is getting at is that those awards, and my understanding is that the intention is for us to no longer provide that sum of money to the same extent, but that hasn't been a visible pot of money for the awards that councils have seen independent of the councillor funds that have been put aside. Is that what you're...
Well, yes, but I mean, I don't have any knowledge of you know, when this happens or how it happens. You know, it might be in the budget, but it's not... It's usually an operational budget, I would assume. And so we don't get a great deal of visibility over operational budgets. Coming down to my question, let's get down to the bottom line. I am interested in how councillors, if they wish to do this and have like a competition and some sort of financial award for Best Verge competition, how do we do this? Do I do it in a motion? Do I do it at budget time and say, I want this and bang on the table? How do I do this so that I can actually have input as a councillor to these sort of decisions? Because I feel a little bit adrift here in the process.
Through Madam Mayor, it would be open to embed something in this policy, although the view of staff was that the reward is the acknowledgement that we're proposing to provide under 1.3b, and that a financial incentive would not be necessary. If council formed a different view that a financial windfall, financial incentive or financial inducement was in fact desirable and necessary, I would suggest having that as a specific item as part of the budget process would be the appropriate way to do it.
Okay, thank you.
So can I ask another practical question?
Just before you do, I think CEO wanted to add something to that comment.
I'm just going to add that the way the policy is being written, it's actually quite broad and it allows for flexibility. So what we may actually find from year to year is we might want to change the approach and focus. So what I would suggest is prior to launching the awards that there'd be some discussion between administration and staff saying this is what we're thinking in terms of the intent, and maybe providing something in the bulletin. I think for the first community awards, we're suggesting that they be aligned with a citizenship ceremony, so they're being combined.
Yeah, I was going to ask the timeline there. Again, there's been so much flying around in emails. So when is the timeline for this first lot of awards that you're looking at? Apart from the fact we've got graduations happening in the next 2 weeks.
Wasn't it for, was it for volunteers?
Yeah,
okay.
In
church
volunteer day, next year, May sometime?
Yeah.
Okay. So that would be this financial year. I must admit that what I was had put here for the Garden Awards, I actually wasn't thinking this financial year. Mm-hmm. I was thinking the following year.
Okay. So, Councillor Hamilton, are you satisfied that the answers that have been provided will allow you scope to explore what you're wanting to look at a later date?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. All right then, Councillors, there's no further questions. We've got an officer recommendation. Is someone willing to move the officer recommendation? Councillor Quinton, is there a seconder? Councillor McWilliam, is there anybody against? That is carried. Thank you, everyone. 12.7 is the annual budget November review. Any questions? Councillor Wilson? Is that moving or a question?
It's a question. Just on page 35 of the agenda, at the bottom, under new budget items, second sub-dot point, sea container plus ramp to provide storage solutions across the organisation. Where is it proposed that that container would be housed?
Three, I believe, at the depot.
And that price, is that for a kitted out storage container, or is this the current going market rate for shipping containers?
Yeah, thank you. To you, Madam Mayor, the this is the current going rate for shipping containers with some ramps and some other additional storage space.
And what do we need to store? Is this for equipment?
Yes, to you, Madam Mayor, we have various amounts of equipment that are under tarps, furniture, running out of storage space, looking at the different moves and relocations for the city, we need to find additional storage space.
Councillor Hamilton?
On page 37 of the agenda, down the bottom, capital revenue. Lucan Way, Ivan Street to Ivanhoe Street resurfacing project has been postponed, therefore the roaster recovery funding will not be received. I'm sure that you said something about this a few weeks ago, but I'm trying to remember why that particular project has been postponed. Would you remind me again? Lucan Way, Ida Street to Ivanhoe Street.
Yep, thanks. To you, Madam Mayor, that project's been postponed as we've found that there's some additional work that we need to undertake in the in additional repairs in repairing the curbing, upgrading the curbing, renewing the curbing in that area. The scope of works that we originally set out has increased, and therefore we're postponing the project to next year, rescoping it. The RTR funding is spread over 3 years, so there'll be no material impact on the town in that funding over the 3 year period.
Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Okay, if there's no further questions, we have a mover to adopt the budget review. Councillor McWilliam, seconder. Councillor Wilson, anybody against? So that is carried with Councillor Gangell absent. 12.8, the meeting schedule for next year. Are there any questions on this? Okay, then, do we have a mover for the officer recommendation? Councillor Quinton, seconded Councillor McWilliam. Anybody against? Carried unanimously with Councillor Gangell absent. 12.11, the Order and Governance Committee meeting. Councillor Quinton, you had a query about this at the briefing session. Has that been satisfied?
Yes, I have read the report. Thank you. Having now received it.
Okay.
Is there a mover for the officer recommendation? Councillor Hamilton, seconded Councillor McWilliam. Anyone against? Carried unanimously with Councillor Ganjo absent again. 12-13 accounts paid. Councillor Hamilton, you wanted that pulled out of en bloc?
A general question first. I won't go through all the payment figures, but the RELAX program, we were at some stage or other going to look at how that program works, and I'd be really interested at some stage knowing the profit and loss on those, because it does seem like we've got one that's $4,000.
So the RELAX program is something that we've discussed recently, and I believe the CEO is going to include that in the review in the not too distant future.
It's actually one of the priorities of the corporate business plan to review.
Okay. And just for my own swimming pool inspections, is $12,000 for September. I thought we were doing that in-house. Is that a contractor who's doing that?
Sorry, the swimming pool inspections.
Through Madam Mayor, they will be done in-house from now on, but up until we go and brought that in-house the last month or so.
Okay.
So this is before that.
That's fine, okay. And the old chestnut that some of us keep bringing out is the tennis court maintenance, which I'm really interested in.
So that would be a discussion when leasing documents
but
come out.
Why? It wasn't part of the lease, was it?
I
actually don't believe it was part of the lease. That might be worth exploring.
Mr. Gibson seems to have something to add here.
Through Madam Mayor, yes, it's part of the lease. So it can be renegotiated at a point in the future.
Thank you. All right, councillors, do we have a mover for the officer recommendation? Councillor McWilliam, seconded Councillor Hamilton. Anyone against? And that is carried unanimously. Moving on then to 13.1, which is the notice of motion that I submitted. You'd remember that last month we carried a motion in relation to the property at One River Street. And with the support of Councillor Wilson and Councillor Quinton, this motion was put into the revocation, and it's simply seeking to remove the heritage conservation notice from the second series of works to allow the property owner the best possible chance to seek grant funding to assist with the restoration, hence the revocation motion and the alternative being submitted. Are there any questions from councillors on this? Okay, so it's already been moved by myself, Councillor Wilson and Councillor Quinton. Is there anybody again? Is that a question? Or
I was going to ask you if you would change
one single word. Yes.
So that last paragraph where it says after which date, if you could just put by which date.
I'm comfortable with that. Is the seconders for the motion comfortable with that? Councillor Wilson? Yep. Okay, is there anybody against the motion?
Yes.
Pardon?
I am, but
I'm not. Okay, so that's carried unanimously. Thank you, Councillor Wilson. Councillor Fortey.
You're against, though.
Yes, but it's a slightly less bad outcome. So that's
but you said it was... Sorry, Your Worship, I'm a little confused now, because you just said it was carried unanimously.
It is carried unanimously, but Councillor Wilson, this is not his preferred outcome, but it's a preferable outcome.
And that it's less bad than the last one.
But did you vote against it or not?
He voted for
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Yes.
Just checking.
He voted for it to change the original motion to something that is more preferable to him.
Thank you.
Okay, item 14, announcements of motion for the next meeting. Are there any that councillors wish to put forward? Item 15, there's no urgent business. So item 16 is confidential. So we have a mover to go behind closed doors. Councillor Wilson, seconded Councillor Hamilton. Anyone against? That is carried unanimously with Councillor Quinton out of the room. Mrs. Brickway, thank you for being here with us this evening.
Thank you.